Let me kick it to you right quick, partner. Not as a gangster, as a grown man. What matters more than the mistakes you make is what you're able to learn from them. Big Phil, it's for you, Pimpin.
Players know when you're playing for the future. Players know that your job is to play the best players that give you the best chance to win. If you want to see a team turn on you, just go start playing younger players and start playing for the future.
Well, that is the voice of Mike Shanahan. Get used to it, folks, because you probably won't be hearing it much longer, as he is likely a dead man walking. Perspective
wow.
of, yeah, I mean, how do you bring the guy back after this debacle? Rob Woodfork with you, alongside George Wallace and Dave Preston back for round two. The Redskins fall by a touchdown, 24-17 to the Giants in prime time. 0 for 5 under the big lights, by the way.
0 for 5.
Not ready for prime time.
No, not ready for 1 o'clock games either, as they are 3-9. If the season were to end today, folks, they would be picking second overall. Oh, wait, no, they wouldn't, because they traded that pick to the Rams.
What's interesting about the fact that they are 3-9, and they are eliminated from playoff contention, the second
yes.
team in the NFC to do so, and I think maybe the third or fourth team overall in the league. Two teams that have already been eliminated: Houston, they won the division last year, and mm-hmm. Atlanta, they won the division. They actually had home field advantage last
yep.
season.
Yes, they
shows
did.
You that the NFL is a today league, and you got to bring it today. And the Redskins did not bring it today, or last night, or the week before,
or any
September.
Of the four prior weeks,
yeah.
as they've now lost four in a row.
And you know what? I'm just going to be the bad guy.
Oh, go for it.
Should have lost the San Diego game.
Yeah.
First and goal in the one,
yeah.
too.
So right now they could very well
You could also say in Minnesota they're up in the first
right.
half. You
yeah.
should have won that game. Fine.
Well, you are what your record says.
You are
right?
what you are and what Dennis Green thought you were.
They've
yeah.
won one overtime game this season. They've won they've won two games against backup quarterbacks.
Yes.
Yep.
Chicago and Oakland both lost theirs.
Yes.
And Oakland went with a guy who's no longer with the team. He's actually on his second team
yeah.
since.
So they
second
could
team
be 0-12,
since.
Basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's been a rough
oh,
year.
Yeah.
It's been a rough
yeah.
year in Redskins Nation.
Yeah, yeah. But can we talk about the George predicted the score almost direct?
If we run back the tape, and I'm not, but you'll take our word for it, I'm sure, folks.
Yeah.
George
well,
predicted
heard it. They
in
listened.
The preview that this would be 24-16 Giants.
Right.
Pretty impressive.
24-17.
Yeah,
now, I got the Redskins point total right. So
okay.
When the Redskins were up 14-0
yes.
Sunday night,
yes.
did you think that there could be a way that they could get to 24-17 from there?
Honestly, yes. Having watched this team all year,
I was
yes.
going to say, how do you get comfortable with any lead? If they were up 31-0, I'm pretty sure they'd find a way to
lose. Last time that team had a 14-0 lead at home after scoring on two drives, the quarterback blew out his knee and they lost a playoff game. So,
ouch.
There you go.
Anyway.
What happens now? There's four games left. Coach Mike Shanahan says that he won't play out the string because he doesn't want to lose this team. But where do you go from here?
I'm finding it hard to find another win on the schedule. I'll be honest with you. Atlanta, maybe.
We've been saying that since the Minnesota
look,
loss.
They're not going to be favored in any game. And the more and more you look at it, how do you keep defending? And we're going to have serious discussions about this, I'm sure, over the next 4 weeks. But a team that's not playing right now. I mean, how do you defend? How do you sell Mike Shanahan next year to this fan base, to these players, and so on and so forth? How do you do it?
Mental errors, too. All
yeah.
the penalties, all the superfluous
yeah.
penalties reminds me of when in the preseason,
word.
That's a school
they
word.
Had, I'm superfluous in my use of the word superfluous. But in the preseason, this team racked up penalties right and left, and
yeah.
everybody said, oh, don't worry, it's August. And in the first couple of weeks, they were among the league leaders in most penalties. It's gotten better since, but just the types of penalties that you see this team drawing, some say that it's not the mark of a disciplined team, but at 3-9, everything gets frayed.
And you're right, and that's the thing. It's the timing of the penalties. All right, Pierre Garçon's kick in the end zone didn't cost them anything. They're down there anyway. Fine. D'Angelo Hall's unsportsmanlike half the distance down from the 2 to the 1. But that's not the point. The point is these are veteran guys on a team like this that shouldn't be doing it.
And furthermore, and we should talk a little bit about the controversy at the end of the game. Of course, you have 3rd and short. They give you the first down.
Mm-hmm.
Shanahan says, no, let's measure this. I said, nah, you got it. Okay. Move forward. Oh, wait. Yeah, it was 3rd down. Now it's 4th and 1. So that screws up all of the play calling. We've been killing them for play calling all season. And
but
you have that one instance where actually the play calling was adversely affected by the call. Now, yes, the referee screwed it up, and of course they admitted it, but to me, Fred Davis makes that catch, a very catchable ball, mind you, right in between the eight and the three, then it's all moot.
Yeah, he caught the, that's the thing, and that's why, you know, that, and that the official screwed it up, sure, that didn't cost you the game. A, Fred Davis had the ball and dropped it. Yep. Hit him right in the chest.
That's a drop.
You catch that ball, different story.
Even
Pierre
with the
Garcon
contact.
Had the first down on fourth down and one.
Yep.
And fighting for yards, had the ball taken from him.
Toughest receiver on the field, yes, had the ball taken from him.
So, is it a different circumstance with play calls? Sure, they dialed up the first down play to Fred Davis down the field. All right. If it's short, you, if it's third and short, you don't do that, fine. But the point is, at some point, these guys are on the field. They need to make the plays.
Yep.
So that's my argument with it. They can't blame it. And they're not blaming it on that the loss on that. Mm. I'm just saying those are the kind of things that you need to see that make catches. Right?
Everything builds on itself over the course of an NFL season. You, yes, don't exist in a vacuum, even though it is a week-to-week league, as much of a snapshot as you can possibly have. And last season, when they won their last seven games, things seemed, they made plays that a 3-6 team, a 4-6, a 5-6, a 6-6 team didn't usually make, but yep, they built upon each play.
You're right.
This year, they're going in the opposite direction.
Well,
they're not
ways,
making plays.
Right. And they're finding ways to lose.
I think the thing, and I heard this statistic earlier, Robert Griffin III has played in every game this season. They have had their starting five offensive line intact every game this season.
Just like last year, yeah.
How are you 3-9?
Right.
There's
right,
no other team in the league that's enjoyed that level of good health this deep into the season. So
you want your consistency, that's it.
Well, and
the
offense.
And that's
the problem. It's, you know, if you have that level of health, you should be building on that,
yes,
instead of, I mean, that tells me that the foundation is flawed. That tells me that what they have in place right now is not sustainable, and they're going to have to make some changes. Now, I think the question then becomes, it's a given that they're going to have to make changes on defense. Oh, yeah, they're going to have to change on special teams. And you kind of want to keep the offense, but if you have to go through all of that change in the staff as it is, do you really want Mike Shanahan to be the guy to make those calls?
Mm-hmm. I think you keep Shanahan, you keep the offensive coordinator, who also has the last name, Shanahan.
He wasn't going to say his name.
You keep those guys in place. That's the one unit that's actually producing at this time. And although the play calling's been called into question during this losing streak, Alfred Morris averages around 14, 15 carries in the first half. Second half, he's averaged in the neighborhood of 4.5 carries.
Yeah, two carries in the second half of this game. Two carries. That is criminal.
In games where they've actually been within striking distance, with the exception of the Philadelphia game, they were down 24-0 after the first possession.
Right.
But they led in the Minnesota game in the second half, up 13 in the second half, when it is prime time to run your lead running back, who averaged over 100 yards last season. The game against San Francisco, it's a one-possession game. You're known as a team that runs far more effectively than it passes. You run the ball at that point. Last night, you're up
17-14.
Yeah, exactly.
17-14.
You run your tailback. I mean, even though Roy Helu Jr. shows a lot of stuff, even though this option, you know, RG3 had a decent night, it's tough to justify keeping the ball away from number 46.
Yes, and the fact that Griffin had the same amount of carries as Griffin, 84 yards, is not okay with me, right? It's almost as if it's not cool to run the ball in the second half when you're in a game and you're, you know.
Yes, but when you're leading,
he's outthinking himself.
Tied.
They're outcoaching. They're trying
he's
to outcoach themselves.
Exactly.
And I'm all for the consistency, like Dave's saying, you keep the continuity. But at the same time, the defense is a mess. The special teams is a mess. And the continuity that you want with your head coach and your quarterback, they're not on the same page. So that would be my, you know what I mean? That would be my argument for that.
You know what I see happening?
Please tell us.
I see Shanahan out. I see Gruden in. I see Kyle Shanahan, and this isn't going to be popular, I see Kyle Shanahan staying.
Very uncomfortable Thanksgiving Shanahan household next year.
And keeping the offense intact. Because remember, Kyle Shanahan worked for John Gruden in Tampa Bay.
Instead of Raheem Morris.
There. And so Raheem Morris, that's your defensive coordinator.
And Bruce Allen's the same thing. And that would be, that's my argument for the, if you go the Gruden route, because he has some roots there.
Yep.
And, you know, he is an offensive guy. But that's going to be the other thing. If Snyder does blow this thing up, Do you go in the proven coach route?
Right.
That's you go the coordinator. Every route you can.
You've done it all, right?
Let's go higher by higher. Hot college coach, Steve Spurrier.
Yeah.
That did not work.
Well, forget Marty.
Marty, yeah. Marty was actually, let's reach back and get an ESPN analyst.
Yeah.
And that worked. For a while, you know,
Marty's
for that
the
one
best
season.
One they had. Other than Gibbs, Marty's the guy that he should have kept.
I still contend if they would have kept Marty, they probably would have had some level of playoff success, if not a Super Bowl.
I agree. They're running the Oklahoma drill.
Yeah.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Can't go wrong with that.
All right, so second hire, Steve Spurrier. Did not work.
No.
And then they went back to the past, blast from the past, Joe Gibbs. And then they went to Jim Zorn, do you call him a hotshot assistant?
No.
Because he really wasn't a hotshot assistant.
I call him
position
a
coach. Yeah.
He was an assistant. Yeah,
he wasn't even a coordinator.
Yes. And then you went back to the guy who was successful elsewhere, kind of like Marty, in Mike Shanahan. So now the wheel turns towards hotshot college coach, if we've been following.
Art Briles.
If you cycle back.
Art Briles?
He just signed a long-term contract.
Listen, and I said this
a few weeks
ago.
Doesn't mean anything in college.
No.
If that happens, then you know exactly who's running this organization.
Yeah.
I think we know already.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying that would further cement that.
When you look at teams that have failed with high-profile quarterbacks and have gotten rid of the head coach, you look at Peyton Manning when they got rid of Jim Mora after there was a disconnect there. They brought in Tony Dungy, who was a defensive-minded coach, and they let Tom Moore continue to do
to run the offense.
What he was doing. The problem on this team, it may be the disconnect between the head coach and the quarterback, but the problem on the field is defense. The problem is special teams.
Yeah.
Do you bring in a defense? You'd be much better served by bringing in a defensive guy, and if somebody outside of Mike Shanahan's son was running the offense, bring it, you know, keep the offensive coordinator that was there. Maybe you bring in a defensive guy, kick Mike Shanahan upstairs to executive VP of football ops that collects a $7 million salary.
I don't want his fingerprints on anything anymore.
Well, and that's
the thing. If he comes off the sideline, he's gone.
But the thing is, and to your point on that, having this discussion last week, there's no question that this roster, this inside the building, is better off than when Shanahan got here. No question.
There's no doubt.
No question. The cupboard was awful. He's got some. You got cornerstones. You got Griffin, Reed, Morris, Trent Williams, Pierre Garçon on offense. Just name a few. Okay. As the executive Mike Shanahan, I don't have a problem right now.
Yeah, if he does one or the other, if you're doing both, then usually that doesn't work out. I think the most successful we've seen it done in the NFL was when Mike Holmgren was in Seattle. They went to a Super Bowl, didn't win it, but they did go.
Right.
So that's not usually something that works in the NFL. But, you know, Shanahan's got a little bit of a spotty record, too. For every good move he's made, he's also made the McNabb moves and the Jamal Brown moves. So, I mean, sort of a mixed record there, but it's still better than what they had, and I'm not anxious to see that blown out.
Right.
But,
yeah, I mean, shouldn't say I don't have a problem with it. You're right.
There are some blemishes, but it's still better than what has been here. I still think they're in better shape than what they were when he got here. But right now, the record isn't necessarily proving that.
Correct.
At this point.
Right.
So, guys, this is the kind of stuff we're going to be kicking around for the next 4 weeks. That's what happens when you get eliminated.
We've
from
got nothing but time.
Early.
Looking forward to it.
And an entire offseason of discontent. So, that's where we are, folks.
I hope people aren't discontent by listening to this.
Well, no. I mean,
you're definitely going to want to listen next week.
Oh, look
or
at
even
you.
Later this week.
Look at you. That's right.
Or just listen to this again.
On Friday, if you are so inclined. If you're still watching the games like we are paid to still do, the Redskins, of course, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. So obviously it's getting a little easier. Right?
The 0-3 in the last 3 weeks, Chiefs.
But
the Chiefs are ripe for upset.
Yeah, but they're the NFC East champs. They've beaten the Cowboys, Giants, and the Eagles.
That's what they do.
Sorry. And it's Andy Reid.
We'll let you know if they have any chance at perhaps winning that game. As we break that down on Friday, Rob Woodfork here with you. Don't forget to check out the NFL recap every Tuesday. And George Wallace here with me. And so is Dave Preston.
The bold and the burgundy.
There you go. As it continues to turn. We'll talk to you guys Friday.